The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
With a strong team of local reporters and its alliance with NPR, WUWM has clearly established itself as one of the best sources in the region for broadcast journalism. But maintaining that high degree of excellence, both on this station and at other news organizations in the area, requires a steady stream of new talent coming into the business. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to talk about training the next generation of journalists. Joining us in the studio are two key members of the Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies at UWM, Jane Hampton and Mark Zaromsky. Jane is a familiar name to regular WUWM listeners. Formerly the host of the Lake Effect program, she is now a lecturer at the university. And Mark Zaromsky spent much of his career in the television news business, actually once a competitor of mine when we worked at different TV stations. Now Mark is a senior lecturer at the university. Welcome, Jane and Mark. Great to have you both with us.
Terrific to be here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And what a joy to be talking to people who train those journalists who someday will take our place, right?
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Big department at the university. Mark, you've been there for a number of years, and literally you have seen some of the best and the brightest not just come through your class, but go on to work at TV and radio stations and newspapers around the area.
Yeah, certainly. I started there in 1996, I think. Which was kind of an odd feeling a few years back when I realized that I've now been teaching longer than I was in television news. But yeah, I started in 1996, and we have wonderful students that many of them go on to work in the radio and television business.
And Mark heads up something called Panther Vision, which is a great program. But before we talk about that, we want to bring Jane in because Jane is working with students who not only are on that broadcast side, but also moving across all the platforms of journalism.
Yes, Mark was really instrumental in taking the former curriculum, which was, you know, very traditional, like a lot of J schools had, where you would have print and broadcast, and that was it. You know, you would have the two different tracks.
And you almost had to choose between one or the other.
Oh, certainly. And when we were in journalism school, that was certainly the deal. And so Mark and a team at the school, at the Department of Journalism, were looking at ways to integrate that curriculum while I was working here at the radio station. And then when I arrived at UWM, it was time to get it going and try all these new classes. And it was really terrific. So you come in the beginning, and it's not a print class. I mean, we're learning the inverted pyramid for sure and news values and lots of basics, but bringing in multimedia right away. So students are learning, in the case of our entry-level class, they're learning audio editing and audio production. A little bit, you know, the writing is the most important thing, I think, first and foremost. But right away, we're integrating it.
Mark, when you began at the university, and it was much more siloed or traditional mm-hmm. in terms of the different paths that you would take, did you ever envision the day would come where you are teaching people these multiple skills? At what point in your career did you realize, yikes, there are several forks in the road and we have to take all of them?
Well, certainly not at the beginning. You know, at that time, it was the traditional print and broadcast sequence, we call it. Some students did both, but certainly we were pretty much siloed in teaching and learning what we learned. I don't remember the exact moment, but I think, you know, as the internet developed, as connection speeds got faster, as the drives got faster and ways to be able to start now pushing video down that pipe, you know, we realized that kind of the days of a a television reporter being just a television reporter were gone, and a newspaper reporter being just a newspaper reporter were gone. Newspaper reporters are doing things for radio. They're doing audio interviews. They're doing things for television. Television reporters are doing things for cross-owned newspapers, so they're doing print writing. They're doing things for the web. They're doing both radio and audio. So I don't remember the exact moment, but I certainly know that we had to make some changes, and we had to enrich the education of the students. The more platforms, the more ways they can tell a story, the more marketable they are, certainly, in terms of getting a job when they graduate.
Jane, how about the students of today? Do you see a different type of person being attracted to journalism schools, journalism programs such as yours, than when you first got into the business?
Maybe, because they're much more tech savvy, obviously. You know, they own social media and they're digital natives. I do still see, though, I see students who come in and say, well, I'm really just interested in writing for a newspaper or a magazine, and some who say, I really just want to work for a television station. But the beauty, I think, of what we're in the process of doing in the department is that some students who say, I'm a print guy, you know, or I'm a broadcast woman, you know, they come in and they fall in love with the other thing, mm-hmm. you know, so they fall in love with the digital editing, or they fall in love with the writing, or they say, oh, yeah, that's fun. I want to be a better writer. So I guess I'm seeing they're savvier coming in for sure than I ever was. But I also see them more interested in crossing over.
Mm-hmm. And there is always going to be areas of specialty. I don't think television stations are going to hire, you know, a print reporter. So there's always going to be this areas of specialty, which is what I think our curriculum takes into account, that you get more training in broadcast journalism if that's what you're interested in, but still doing all the cross-platform stuff. You get a little bit more by the classes that you're able to take, the electives that you're able to take. You can get more print training, quote unquote, if that's so you have this area of specialty, but you are also become experts, I hope, in telling stories across all different media.
Mark, I have to smile when you said a moment ago that you've got today reporters who are expected to not only be able to write as if they were at a paper, but also speak as if they're on television or behind a microphone. You're talking about the challenges of training people who haven't worked in the business yet. It's kind of interesting because there are a legion of reporters, of journalists who were trained 20 or 30 years ago who now have to be retrained, right? I mean, right. I'm beginning to see some print people show up on my computer screen doing a TV newscast who I imagine never thought in their life they would have to appear right. before a camera.
Right. And, you know, we've looked at, as we started this process of trying to integrate the curriculum, you know, we looked at websites of major newspapers, you know, including the Journal Sentinel, and looked at the video work that they're doing. And I'm going, these people wouldn't pass my class. They're not trained in visual storytelling. And so that was kind of the impetus of okay, we want our students to come out with fundamental skills in all of the various. So we have somebody who's going into print journalism, They're also trained in visual storytelling and shooting and, you know, all the things that go editing and following the rule of thirds, you know, visual composition and all those kind of things.
Mark and I are very much on the same page when it comes to great ways to tell stories using these different tools, because anybody can take an iPhone and, you know, capture video. And sometimes that stuff is amazing and it's compelling, but alone it doesn't tell a story. Mm-hmm. It's a supplement to a story. And that doesn't mean that somebody who witnessed something, you know, can't share a great story. But a great storyteller uses those video tools or audio tools to put together something different, meaningful, and most important, has value.
It's bringing that context. Context
That's
to the
right.
story, right?
That's right.
When I got into journalism a number of years ago, okay, I'll admit it, many years ago, before I had my career and then moved here to higher education. I remember being drawn to journalism because of this sense of altruism, the fact that, by God, there need to be rights or wrongs righted and injustices turned over. And there was almost a legion of us at the time who were passionate. This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. Do you sense that there still is that sense of altruism or that streak of doing the right thing in the students in classrooms today?
I think to a certain extent. I mean, right, you watched All the President's Men, right? And back in that generation and wanted journalism to be seeking the truth. And I still think that that's what journalism is all about. To me, it doesn't really matter what reasons they've chosen, why they want to go into journalism. They fall in love, I think, with the writing and the telling of the story. And we spend a lot of time talking about technology, but fundamentally, journalism is journalism. Journalism has not changed. The way that we tell the story has changed, perhaps. But, you know, we teach our students to do all the things that good journalists should do in trying to seek the truth, get confirming sources, hold the powerful accountable, give voice to the voiceless. And really what's changed is how we tell that story. But good old journalism is still good old journalism.
Jane, one of the developments over the last few years in the journalism department is creating a website that serves as a platform for some of these stories. It's Media Milwaukee. And that is something different, where you now actually offer a stage for journalism that may not have existed before.
Absolutely. Media Milwaukee is the student work website. You know, it's not a daily news source, especially because I think the way that the academic calendar works, we gear up for part of the semester, and then by the end of the semester, we're producing, some pretty good work. But it is a showcase of student work. Media Milwaukee is terrific. That gives us a platform to enter contests for online journalism, all sorts of online awards. The other thing we're doing, hand in hand with that, which I think is just as important, if not more important, to individual students, is everyone who comes through our department will start at the entry-level class and working their way up to the top class, creating their own individual website, because every student has to have his or her own brand. That's the way it is. And so maybe you have a few things on Media Milwaukee, but more important, you're going to have those pieces of work, multimedia work most likely, on your own website. Mm. And so I'm spending, certainly a chunk of my summer learning new ways, new platforms to offer them to teach in the fall so that they can choose what works best for them. Take it with them throughout the whole curriculum.
And then you can teach me, right?
I will.
Okay, good.
Yes,
thank
I will.
You.
And Mark mentioned Panther Vision before. That is really the you might be called the godfather of Panther Vision, right? You came from
Absolutely.
A TV station and decided, hey, there has to be a way to train that next generation of TV journalists.
Yeah, when I first started at UWM, I was actually quite shocked that there was no student television newscast. I mean, just about every college that I know of that is has a serious commitment to broadcast journalism has a student-produced newscast. And so I started UWM Panther Vision in the fall of 98. And it is a half-hour television newscast that is the product. It's class-based. And so it's a product of our television news reporting class. They're the reporters, the photojournalists, the editors, and the anchors. And then our television news management class, and they are the managers of the newscast. They're the newscast producers, the assignment editors, and the managers. We do one newscast a week. We do the technical stuff, the studio production down at Milwaukee Area Technical College. It's this kind of marriage that we have between the two institutions. They have a television and video production program, and so their students want to be directors and technical directors and studio camera operators and the behind-the-scenes stuff. They're focusing on technical. We're focusing on content development, and so it's this beautiful marriage that we all come together and do a real-world product every week.
Well, and producing a very good product, both Media Milwaukee and Panther Vision. tons of awards. I mean, I see this come over the wire on a regular basis, and we're not talking about Best in Milwaukee. We're talking about national awards that are won by journalists right here at UWM on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that makes us proud. I mean, to see our kids succeed, that's just our kids. We call them our kids.
Yeah, they kind of are.
We've been very successful, and I think of for a number of reasons. Number one, you know, we realize when we teach that, again, journalism is king. It's all about journalism. But then we also, I think, teach students some secrets on how to tell an interesting and compelling story. We've done very well. I'll stop and let Jane talk for a second, but I have to tell you about the Society of Professional Journalists awards that Panther Vision won this year, because it's astonishing to me. We were chosen as a national finalist in the best newscast category and a national finalist in the best in-depth television reporting categories. And what's remarkable about that is this is a national contest, 4,000 entries. And we're up against some really big competition. The student news organization that actually won the best newscast category was the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism in Phoenix, you know, with their $77 million brand new facility and 30-some faculty teaching broadcast journalism, and they have live trucks, and they have a Washington, D.C. bureau, and, you know, we have me and Jane in a basement and some cameras, right?
That's so, about it.
So it is.
You know, you're making the case for not getting a bigger budget.
Yes, I understand that. But we thought we'd throw it out there anyway. It does go to the fact that content is king. You know, journalism is king. We're teaching quality journalism. It doesn't matter whether we're in a basement with a few cameras or if somebody's got a $77 million business or a building, you know, it's journalism. It's how well you do.
Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. Hey, let's put on a show.
Exactly.
Sometimes it turns out pretty well.
Exactly.
You're listening to WUWM. This is UWM Today. Good to have you with us on this week's program, focusing on the next generation of journalists that are being trained, produced at the program, a very, very wonderful program at UW-Milwaukee in the Department of Journalism, Advertising, and Media Studies. In the studio with us, Mark Zaromsky and Jane Hampton, both lecturers teaching that next generation what they need to know to be successful. Jane, as you take a look at the environment that this next generation of journalists are going to find themselves in upon graduation, kind of different from the world that that we first entered when we were all young, budding journalists a few years ago.
Very much. We knew where we were headed. We had an idea if we wanted to work at a television station or our goal was to work at a newspaper or a magazine. We knew where to apply. And now it's much more confusing. So part of what we do, I would say, with our multimedia curriculum is keep in mind, in a way that I certainly didn't when I was in journalism school, that terrific writing and great storytelling can have wider application than just the traditional journalism jobs that we think of. So I do think of strategic communications in ways that some of our students don't want to be newspaper reporters. They don't plan to uncover malfeasance in local government and that kind of a thing. It's not the way they're thinking, but they love to write and they love putting together stories, you know, using these different digital media tools. So we think of all kinds of different ways that great storytelling can help them get a job. And I have many, many examples of that. And there's so many non-traditional outlets out there now that I am able to pull into the classroom that are really exciting, that just come across as being different to students. They say, oh, I get that. Like maybe the nightly news isn't my thing, but I sure get that. So we're thinking of all sorts of different applications for these skills.
That's probably a good thing from a career standpoint, given how different the world of business, strike that, the business of journalism is today compared to 10 or 15 years ago.
Right. There's a bunch of challenges that we have. I mean, Jane talked about the students coming into us being technically savvy. But there's some downside to that too. I mean, one of the hardest things that I found in terms of training journalists is to convince students to pick up the phone and call a source and ask them for an interview. They want to email. They want to send a text message or they want to email. And I say, no. If you send me an email and say, you know, Mr. Zaromsky, we want to do an interview about blah, 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 it would be real easy for me to ignore it if I didn't want to do the interview, or just shoot an email back saying, no, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. But if you get them on the phone, you can use your communication skills and to try to persuade them to do an interview with you and to get information from them. And it's these kind of unexpected things that I mean, I never thought about that. I never thought about I'd have to train my students to actually use a telephone. They use a telephone every day. They call their friends, right?
Well, they sure don't call their parents, I can tell you that much.
But it's those kind of unexpected things that I think are kind of part of the joys of teaching another generation.
I'll tell you what it does is it gets them out into the community and out into neighborhoods, and that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, so many of us grow up, you know, wherever we grew up, and in many cases in Wisconsin, maybe students grew up outside a major metropolitan area and they've not experienced different kinds of neighborhoods, ethnicities, ways of life, and we just toss them right out there. And in many of my classes, I'll say, if you email someone and you get a quote in your story, it better say so-and-so said via email. Because if you're not there interviewing that person one-on-one, I need to know that.
Right.
As your editor, you need to get out there. And then they come back, don't they, Mark, with these amazing stories, you know, and then all of a sudden they're excited because they spent the weekend or the night in some funky, different place and situation.
And they come back with a half dozen story ideas.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Because every story always leads to another story and another story.
Well, do you think down the road, putting on our future scope here, down the road, some of the methods of communication are going to change the storytelling a journalist or a corporate communicator might be using 10 years down the road? Will social media ever be a mainstay in terms of communications? Will we be Twittering the news to each other, or is a television newscast here to stay? Is a newspaper in some form here to stay?
I read and hear. I'm not so much an expert on the economic models of newspapers, but I hear terrible things, you know, that it's absolutely not sustainable. We know that there are, you know, amazing, passionate minds trying to figure out how to monetize that. Viewership for television news is down. I think that the tools that we use in these different jobs can move to different platforms. Social media is essential right now. Maybe it won't be a big deal in 5 years, but it doesn't matter because we have to use it now to communicate the way Americans and young people communicate. So we have to embrace it. And part of what we teach our students is to be innovators. And so I try every day to bring into the classroom examples of people who are coming up with what seem like crazy ideas, but they're selling news, or selling newspapers, or getting people to click on a website.
I think what, you know, I keep coming back to good, solid journalistic skills of, and, you know, the things that go with good, solid journalistic skills, confirming sources. I still remember a college professor of mine saying, I don't care if your mother tells you she loves you. I need a confirming source. And objectivity and impartiality, as much as human beings, we can do those things. You know, it's already, what do you believe these days, right? You see everything posted on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, can you believe those things? And of course, now we have partisan media. And who do you believe? And the difference between the National Enquirer and the New York Times is credibility, right? We don't believe that. Well, some people believe the National Enquirer, but we believe the New York Times, or at least come closer to believing what they say. And so, whatever the form, it doesn't matter if it's Twitter or whatever. Whatever the form, it's the credibility that I think that is the future of journalism. It is what we do. Without credibility, we don't have journalism.
It's where the value is.
So do you have to break habits of students who arrive having grown up in a world of social media and thinking that the best way to communicate their story is Pinterest?
I think that we do have to break some habits. Everybody's a publisher these days, right, with their Facebook page and everything like that. When the big budget battle was going on in Madison, I had to sit down and talk with my well, we always talk about objectivity and impartiality, but we talked about you can't put any comment that would indicate any personal opinion on this issue on your Facebook site. You can't sign petitions. That's just journalists don't. Well, and sure enough, you know, a year later, there was a story about some, you know, some journalists at the various television stations and the newspapers signing the recall petitions. I said that journalists need to be objective, and both in two different ways. One, you have to satisfy yourself and your newsroom that you're objective, and two, the public has to know that you're objective. And so if you're out there signing petitions, now suddenly the public is going to go, well, can I believe what this person says? How objective are they? And so, yeah, there's some retraining. I mean, people are always on Facebook giving their personal opinions. And I go, you know.
Absolutely. One of the first things we talk about. Who's a journalist? You know, I'll toss that out in the entry-level class. You know, are the anchors at MSNBC or Fox News journalists? Is Jon Stewart a journalist? Is Stephen Colbert? You know, and there's a big, it's always a great discussion. But I really only have one opinion on that. And I say, no, I mean, they are commentators. They're commentators. You need to know the difference. They might have experience in journalism, but right now they're not acting in the role of journalists.
But yet that commentary tends to dominate so much of the political discussion. Do you think there might be a day where the department needs to be renamed Journalism, Advertising, Media Studies, and Opinion?
I hope not.
JAMSO?
Oh, boy.
JAMSO, yeah. I certainly think there's a role for opinion in what we do. You know, if you look at some of the more famous television documentaries, for example, The Harvest of Shame by Edward R. Murrow. I mean, obviously that's taking a point of view. It was about the mistreatment of migrant workers in the fields in California. And I think there's a role for that, but not when you're starting out. That's what I tell them.
Well, and as long as you know the difference.
Right.
You simply need to know the difference when you see it or hear it.
But you need to know what you're talking about to take a position.
Exactly. It has to be researched, well-researched opinion, I think. I think they need some fundamental journalistic experience, and then they can start going into interpretive journalism, which is not a bad thing. I mean, interpretive journalism is not
Well, some of the best magazine writing is a blend of opinion and fact.
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Well-researched. Mm-hmm. Exhaustively researched in many cases, yeah.
So as you go forward, 5 years from now, what do you predict you're going to be doing different in the classroom with these students?
I know the emphasis on great writing will be the same.
Right.
Any employer you talk to, in our fields, will say, I just want great writers.
Mm-hmm. And I think the emphasis on solid quality fact-finding will be the same. That'll be there. And it's just a matter of how we tell the story. You know, once this country moved, when the standards of objectivity and things like that came into journalism after the penny press and after the newspapers being mouthpieces of political parties, once we moved into the standards of journalists are objective, fair, balanced, all those things, technology hasn't changed journalism. Which just changed how we tell the story.
Well, we wish you the best as you teach that next generation how to tell those stories. And we'll have you back on down the road a bit and see what other awards you've won and what other stars are being produced in the department. Mark Zaromsky and Jane Hampton, both teaching journalism at UW-Milwaukee, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.